Well, we just praise the Lord today. Hope the day finds you blessed and ready for the Word of God. We want to go to Him in prayer and ask Him to anoint today. Lord, anoint our lips. Your words you've already said won't come back void, and we take you at your word. Now, anoint those that hear this message today, this teaching, and let them be just renewed and refreshed by the Word of God. Let people come to decisions. Let those that are weighed in the balances not be found wanting, but accept you as Lord and Savior and become saved. And this would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today we want to teach on a thought, dust we are. Now, just a little short while back, my dad went home to be with the Lord. And I was blessed to be able to preach his funeral. He had asked, and I'd preached Mama's funeral, and Dad had made comments that he would like me to preach his funeral when he was gone. And we'll miss him, but he's home. He's home at last. Thank God he's home, home at last. And as I was ministering in that funeral, and as I gathered thoughts for that day, and I gather thoughts for today for this teaching, I'm reminded of some of the things I shared in that service that day. And I want to share some of them. I believe they'll be beneficial. A lot of people say, well, we don't need to talk about these things. Well, they're the Word of God, and we better talk about them, because if not, we're liable to be ignorant of some of the main understandings that we must have. Now, the Word of God tells us in Genesis 2 and 7, it tells us that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And there again, I'm going to take God's word for what he said. He said he took dust and he formed a man. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That dust that was formed in the man did not become a living soul until God breathed his breath into it. So when the breath goes out of a man, then that's a sign that the spirit and soul has departed, and the flesh is left there for us to, do a memorial with and to return it back to the dust. A lot of people asked about cremation and burial. I'm not going to get too much into that, because let everybody have the same decision. I'm going to say I don't believe it's anything wrong in being cremated. Your body is already dead. The Bible says, not do anything against the temple while it's living. We're not to abuse our temple. We're not to try to end or terminate the life of our temple. And we're to give it to God. But once the spirit and soul has gone out of it, it goes back to dust. It goes back to ashes. And the scripture does cover both understandings. So I'm not here today to debate where you be cremated, where you not. I'm just going to share with you through the Word of God that God does say dust and ashes. And a lot of time at funerals and our committals, we say from dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We commit the soul to God and the spirit to God, and the flesh, we commit it back to the ground where it came from. Then we find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, in the sweat of thy face wilt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That was Genesis 3 and 19. We're reminded over in the 18th chapter of Genesis, Abraham said to God in the 27th verse of that chapter, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Which, he goes to say, which am, or which he was, however you want to say it. King James Version, sometimes you have to catch the terminology of it. But he's simply saying, this is what I am, but dust and ashes. He humbled himself before God. He recognized God as the creator, as the breath of life, as the giver of the soul and the spirit. And he identified himself to the understanding that he was just dust and he was just ashes. And naturally, ashes return back to dust. If you spread, we used to carry them out from the stove when I growed up on the farm, and we would dump them out and find a place that, you know, we just needed to fill in or something. And we would dump them out, and they return right back, mix them with the soil, and they return right back to the earth and the dust of the earth. There, this scripture does identify both settings, the dust and the ashes. Then in Ecclesiastes, in the third chapter and in verse 20 of that third chapter, it says these words: all go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Then in Ecclesiastic, in the 12th chapter and in verse 7, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it, signifying here both the flesh and the spirit. Spirit going back to God, the flesh going back to the dust wherein that it came from. Then I'm reminded of Job and some understanding that we've received from Job. Job had a whole lot of insight. All those years before the coming of the Christ child that was born of the virgin birth, all before the death, burial, and the resurrection, all before the tomb, stone being rolled away, all before that, here a man by the name of Job made a declarance in Job in chapter 19 in verse 25 and verse 26. For I know my Redeemer liveth. First of all, he acknowledged the Savior. And that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. Now, far as the Old Testament, when he stood as a man would be classified to them as the latter days. To us, the latter days is when he turns and stands again. So this scripture is relevant for both points, to Job as he said it, and to you and I as we look to the Lord to come. We're looking for his second coming. The early Testament point of this, they was looking for his first coming. We're looking for his second coming. But he said, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the last days upon the earth. Then verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He opened up an understanding and set the floor mat for the New Testament, for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was to be crucified. But then again, he said he knew that he would see his Redeemer. Now, to the Old Testament saints, they was kept in a place called Upper Sheol. And they were in bondage until Christ died on Calvary. Because the blood of an animal would never cleanse or wash away the sins. It was only to atone unto Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was only to atone until he could do his work on Calvary. So, to the Old Testament saints, the Bible says, and it's very important that we look at that understanding over in Matthew, and we find in the closing chapters there of Matthew, how it's explained to the understanding of what took place and how that Jesus, when he was crucified and he rose forth from the dead, and then at that moment, the veil in the temple, Matthew 27 and verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51, and behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now in verse 52 it says, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And verse 53 said, and came forth out of the graves after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. We have to catch that closely, and we have to chronologically rightly divide that. Verse 53, here the writer of Matthew, he was so excited telling it that he just told the whole thing at one time. And the insert in 53, after his resurrection. Now, the Old Testament saints, they were resurrected at this time. They were seen walking, you know, on the streets of Jerusalem. And they were seen, and people beheld them. So this is the resurrection of that last day, wherein those that come forth that was in captivity, those that had been buried, those that were dead, they come forth and they were resurrected. The body is united with the soul, and he delivered up the kingdom unto the Father. You notice how he told them not to touch him. I've not yet been to that point. He had not been yet glorified. But after he came back, he'd been to the Father. He delivered all these Old Testament saints up to the Father and took them to heaven. Then he returned, and he told them the first thing he said, you know, put forth your hand. He told them to, you know, to touch him, to feel of him. And this was the fact he had already been glorified to that point, that he had completed the work of the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Now, in Paul's writings to the Corinthians, he talked about in verse 16 of the 15th chapter, he said, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain, yet are ye in your sins. And I thank God today that he has risen. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life we only had hope in Christ, of all men we'd be most miserable. But we thank God that he did come forth. He did fulfill what he said. And then in that understanding of the 15th chapter in verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There again, the Lord is going to come forth, and he is going to deliver the New Testament saints up to the Father, just as he did the Old Testament saints. And this proves the understanding of his resurrection. We go to 1 Corinthians, really in that same chapter, just on over towards the end of it, in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then further to establish this understanding, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. This is 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. Now 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also we which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall, and he explains, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall send from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And my prayer is today that this would be a comfort to you to know the dead in Christ shall rise first. God, which gave the spirit and soul, the dust which gave the body, the dust will yield forth the body. The God that gave it will give the spirit and soul, be reunited, and will be caught up to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever dwell with the Lord. I ask that if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you would get ready. I ask that you pray. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Confess your sins. Believe in him. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Lord, in Jesus' name, save to the uttermost. Heal, deliver, and set free is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.